produce the most happiness for you. The only important thing is that you have recognized what you're doing. And if something happens then to strike this vulnerability, you won't lash out in the wrong direction. You'll realize how you got in that position and what is now necessary to maximize your happiness from this point onward. The point being that once having seen the truth, there is no automatic course of action that will now have to be pursued to prevent you from looking like a fool. Heavens, it's your life. And you have to decide, based upon your goals and what you think is possible, what you will do with the truth that you have now discovered. This is especially pertinent, as everything seems to be, in the subject of love. Don't back away from the truth or try to act as if you didn't see it, merely because you think that this would then compel you to act in a particular way, and all the people standing around in a circle watching you will expect you to do a certain thing as a result of now having seen this, so that the only way you can avoid doing this thing is to say, I didn't see the thing that would cause in the first place. For example, don't overlook the weaknesses of your mate. Don't take the attitude, consciously or unconsciously, that to recognize a weakness in your partner is automatically to call for a divorce. Once you've recognized the weakness, you might very well decide that this is still the best place to be. But you can't decide that realistically until you've faced up to things as they are. Just because you're sure you don't want to move away is no reason to ignore the truth of what's there. Face things as they are. Take an inventory of things as they are. Then if you stay, you can take the weakness into consideration and do something that will alleviate its problems, yours and hers. Take into consideration the weaknesses of both of you, and you will establish a much better relationship than you could by ignoring the truth. Well, now let's turn our attention to the subject of marriage. First of all, just what is marriage? How would you define it? Well, I've played around with an awful lot of definitions of this word and found it very difficult to try to pinpoint a precise dividing line where you could say this is marriage and this is not marriage, depending on which side of the line they're on. There are difficulties, of course, caused by the most prevalent concepts of marriage, which usually involve a blessing or a sanction from the church or the state before one can call something a marriage. Well, I assume that most people in this room are not particularly enamored with the idea that the authority on the subject is either the church or the state, and that this institution has the ability to make a marriage out of what would otherwise be a non-marriage. And the idea that two people living together are the standard of marriage is certainly not precise enough either, because people we consider married may unfortunately find themselves separated for long periods of time. For example, one of them may be in jail for not having a marriage license or something of the sort. At the same time, a brother and a sister might be living together with none of the feelings or attributes of romantic love as we are considering them here. So we need some other standard of marriage to be the precise dividing line between what is and what isn't. And the word, the word marriage does seem to imply a certain sense of structure or durability or substance to a relationship other than what we would call a casual relationship between two people that is obviously temporary, and even though the more durable appearing relationship may ultimately turn out to be temporary, this one is obviously temporary and so forth. But what is the sense of structure that exists that makes something a marriage? Well, I think we have the answer in the concept of romantic love that was developed last week. I tried to identify the special ingredient of single-purposeness as it applies to the individual who has found the ability to make clear-cut decisions in his life. At this stage, he no longer finds himself tempted by foregone alternatives, so he no longer has to remind himself of the long-term consequences to be gained from sticking to his original decision, because there just isn't any temptation not to. He loses his desire for everything but the first choice that he has made. Now, if an individual has not had that experience in the past, there is no reason to say, well, it couldn't exist, and nobody really has that, and so forth. But because obviously it can exist, and you probably, if you haven't experienced it in the romantic field, you've probably seen it in other areas of your life, where you knew so clearly and definitely what you wanted, you felt no temptation whatsoever from other things, other foregone alternatives in that field, so you didn't even have to tell yourself that you were going to suppress that temptation or that urge. Well, in this way, in the romantic field, once the individual has found what he considers to be an ideal mate, he no longer sees any romantic attraction in others. Not because he chooses to love only one, but because he just recognizes that now he loves only one.